We invite your attention to a passage of scripture found in the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter. It would be beneficial for you in your own time if you would read the 3 chapters in their entirety, so that you might have all the context of this message. For the sake of this message, we want to begin reading the 3rd chapter, verse 15, where you'll find these words. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Our message is entitled, Don't Bend, Don't Break, and Don't Bow. Don't bend, don't break, and don't bow. I don't know if you've noticed, but there has been a drastic change in the Christian church within the last 20 years. There's been a lot of bending of the Word of God, a lot of breaking of vows and covenants, and a lot of bowing down to Satan and worldliness. The church has become worldly in several areas, and therefore it has become fleshly, or as the Bible says, carnal. And there is a crisis of carnality in the church as we stand for the Word of God is being watered down, and holiness is being watered down along with it. It seems as though folk don't want to live holy anymore. They want to live hellish instead of holy. They want to come to church and to do their church thing, but then get out in the streets and do their own thing. I found that if you begin to bend things, you will blend things. And if you bend and blend things, you'll break things, and then you'll end up bowing. Several of the pastors that I have come up with in these past 30 years started out taking a strong stand on the Word of God. Along the way, I've watched many of them bend the Word to make it say something it never said. I know that some of you like to bend the Word to make the Word say something it never said. But you can't bend or blend God's Word. There are those who blend their Christianity with superstitions, rabbit's feet, and the signs of the time. They want to talk about the rabbit foot and the four-leaf clover. They want to talk about what's your sign, what's your zodiac sign. You don't blend that mess with Christianity. I told you many times about that woman who came to our office and a young lady sat her purse on the floor. She said, girl, don't put your purse on the floor. You won't have no money. I said, is that the Old Testament or the New Testament? That sounds like it's superstitious to me. That ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, amen. If she ain't working, she ain't going to have no money no how. we've tried to blend a lot of stuff in with Christianity that really shouldn't be there. And so we tried to bend or water down the word. Some of the pastors haven't broken their marriage vows. Amen. Broken their promises that they made to their wives and so forth. And many of them have bowed down to Bentleys, bowed down to Mercedes-Benz, bowed down to diamonds and jewelry, and bowed down to worldliness and worldly things. But I'm here to tell you I'm standing, but I'm sure not standing still. Amen. The reason I'm not standing still is because a moving target is hard to hit. And I know Satan has been shooting at me for a long time. So I'm still standing. I just ain't standing still. Amen. Covetousness is idolatry. The Bible makes that plain in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry is the reason that God was sick of Israel and Judah. He had told them so many times in his word, don't bow down to idols. As a matter of fact, he made it quite plain. Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Exodus 23:24, again he says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. Leviticus 26:1 said, ye shall not make no idols or graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 5:9 said, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Joshua 23:7 said, neither make mention of the name of their God, nor cause to swear to them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourself unto them. 2 Kings 17:35, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourself to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. So Israel and Judah knew not to bow down. But they kept bowing down. They wanted the gods that their enemies served. And so God said, I'm sick of you. I'm going to rid idolatry out of you once and for all. I'm going to rear up a people, a heathenistic pagan people, to come in here and to take you from the beautiful Jerusalem and take you to Babylon, where you'll be captive in exile for 70 years. And that's just what he did. He raised up the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a strange and mean king. Amen. He was a king like none other than the scriptures. The problem is that God has raised up a standard by the Jews to live by, and yet and still they forsook him, and they decided that they would live any kind of way they wanted to. That's the problem I'm seeing in the church. That's a big problem where you see, we're living our lives the way we want to instead of the way God wants us to live. Babylon had a pantheon or a plurality of gods. They were very polytheistic in that, very superstitious in that. They believe in blending their superstitions along with their beliefs. And that makes a wreck of Christianity and a wreck of serving God. Let me tell you this, God needs no additives. God needs no improvement. You don't need God plus nothing. The same God that set out on nowhere and brought everything into existence and then created man from dust and the woman from the man, that same God needs no help. God has given his standard of holiness to the church For God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now you cannot water down holiness, but God said, I want you to be like me. His laws, his rules, his commandments must be looked upon as not suggestive ways of living, but commandments of God. You see, this Christian life comes with instructions. We got a manual called the Bible. We must live according to this manual, and we must live to the letter of the law at all costs. Don't bend. Don't break. Don't bow. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has set out to conquer Judah in the first year of his reign. And Nebuchadnezzar brought his forces unto Palestine and subdued the Jews and carried off numerous captives, including the best of the best. And it was in the hand of God. Well, as a matter of fact, it says this in 2 Kings 24:3. It says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all he did. In other words, God approved it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, this heathen, for this purpose of chastising his own children. They took with them the best that Judah had to offer, the best of the royal family. They took the treasures from the treasure house, and Nebuchadnezzar put them in the house of his treasure where his guards were. They took young men to train them, but they were already trained in the word of God. Four young men in particular. Four strapping young men had been trained in the word of God, and they knew those scriptures that said, thou shalt not bow down. They understood the dietary law and knew that they couldn't just eat anything the king put before them. And they said, no, king, we will not eat those things that you brought us, but try us and let us eat the thing that we need to eat, the vegetables and so forth, and see if we don't look better than them other guys eating all your meat, drinking your wine. And they proved it. They understood that by bringing these captives into Babylon to assimilate into the culture and to change them, the first thing they would have to do would be to change their names. And so Daniel, whose name means in Hebrew, God is my judge, they called him Belshazzar. And Belshazzar means Baal protects his life. They gave him a pagan name. Hananiah, whose name means Jehovah was favored, is called Shadrach, a commander of the moon god, Aku. Mishael, which means who is like God, they called Meshach, the shadow of the prince. And then Azariah, whose name means helped by Jehovah, was called Abednego, which is, means servant of Nebo, a Babylonian deity. They changed their names. They changed their location. They even changed their mind. But they couldn't change their heart. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. When you've been saved, when you've been born again, and the Spirit of God gets in you, even if your mind is not yet renewed, once that word gets into your heart, nothing can change that word in your heart. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. I might not sin against you. I've talked to people with Alzheimer's who can't remember things and who forget things and whose mind is not where it should be. But in their heart, God is still there. So when I talk to them about the word of God, I never will forget that time. I went to see Miss Miller. Mr. Miller brought me into the house and he sat me down there. And he said, Sister Miller, this is our pastor. And she looked at me and she didn't know me. And then she looked for a while. He said, this is our pastor in our church. And she remembered my grandfather. And then she looked at me and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that's what she said. And then she began to quote other scriptures to me, to let me know that her mind wasn't where it should be, but there was some word down in her heart. See, once you get it down in your heart, you'll be all right. Well, they might change where you live at. They might change your culture. They might even change your mind, but they can't change your heart. So these men have the word of God in their heart. Now, what brings them to prominence, and what brings them to the place in which we are in this particular chapter, was that in chapter 2, you will find that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. The dream disturbed him so much that he called for all of his enchanters and soothsayers and astrologers and said, "And tell me the dream I dream, and then interpret the dream." And they said, "Say what? You mean, well, tell us the dream, king, and then we'll give you an interpretation." He said, "No, that's not what I want to do. Tell me what I dream. Then give me the interpretation." They said, "There's not a man alive that can do that." He said, "Well, I'm going to have all you killed then." Now, the word went out for his henchmen to kill up all of the wise men that he had brought with him. And along with that came the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, along with Daniel. Now they've come now because they're going to be killed as well. Daniel said, "Well, what's the problem? What happened?" And they told him, they said, "Well, the king had a dream, and he brought all his magicians and soothsayers and astrologers and told him to tell him the dream, and he couldn't tell him." He said, "No man can do that." He said, "Man, that's a hard one." He said, "Well, see if you can buy us some time, and I'll talk with my fellas here." See, it's good to have some prayer partners. It's good to have somebody who you can pray with and will pray for. So if you read the second chapter, you'll find out that what Daniel did was he got with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, "I want y'all to pray to God for his mercy." And God answered Daniel and told Daniel the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed. He goes to the king. He gets audience with the king. He saved the lives of all of those who are going to be killed. Understand this. These ruthless, no good soothsayers and astrologers and all these magicians, he saved their life by telling the king not only the interpretation, but what he dreamed. And when he was through, the king was so amazed that he bowed down at Daniel. And said, "Daniel, I'm going to make you head of my providence. I'm going to let you stay around the palace." And at Daniel's request, the three other Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were given prominent positions in the kingdom of Babylon. You see, you have to understand, behind the scenes, God is working. If you don't get nothing else out of this, you have to understand, in your life, even though you cannot see God, God is working behind the scenes of all of your problems, even in hostile territory. You know what hostile territory is, don't you? Many of you will go there tomorrow morning and you'll work from 9 to 5 in hostile territory. Some of you will go home today and sleep with hostile territory. Amen. You know what hostile territory is, don't you? Here they are in hostile territory, but favor is being poured out from God. All they had to do was ask God for an interpretation of a dream. No man, as a matter of fact, when he goes to the king, he says, "No man can do this, but I got a God in heaven that called you to dream your dream. And here is the interpretation of that dream." God is behind the scenes. He's just a phone call away. Old folks say, "I got a telephone down in my bosom. I can call him up when I want him. He's never busy at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Talk to the Lord." Which asks me to ask you, how long did you talk to God this past week? I know you ain't ready for this one. Amen. Did you talk to God as much as you talked on your cell phone this past week? Don't be lying to me, shaking your head. No, you didn't. A good answer is, not as much as I should have, Pastor. Spend some time with God. Spend some time in His Word. Spend some time telling Him how wonderful He is. Spend some time telling Him how magnificent a God He is. We spend a lot of time begging and pleading, but just spend some time in praising God. Don't be asking Him for nothing. Just spend some time telling Him, thank you for what I already got. The fact that I can get up and dress myself by myself, I want to thank you. The fact that when I want some water, I can walk over and get my water, thank you. We take so much for granted. But don't you bend. Don't you break. Don't you bow. We are under instructions how to live this life. And so, Daniel is somewhere in the king's palace. Nebuchadnezzar decides to erect this great monument. He builds a statue 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, in the plain of Shinar. That's gold. You can see it for miles and miles around. He called for a general convention. Of all the states are summoned to attend this dedication of this image he put up. The messengers are dispatched to all parts of his kingdom to gather the princes, the dukes, the lords, the peers, and all of those that will come. The treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of the providence, all should come to the dedication of this golden image upon the plain. Now, if you don't come, there's peril in store. In obedience to the king, summoned all the magistrates, the officers of the vast kingdom. They gathered themselves, many coming from miles and miles around. They come to see the image. And the person goes out and he has all different languages. They're speaking in different languages, different customs. And he realizes everybody has different gods that they worship before they were all captive and brought to Babylon. But he has to show forth his power. He has to show that at my image, everybody shall bow and worship it. Don't care where you came from. Don't care what you believe. To show his power, you must come and you must bow down. He's showing that he has a power and an influence. And so the caller goes out and he says, at the sound of the music, it says, here the charms of music are to lure them into compliance to what awaits them. He said, when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery and the dulcimer, and all the rest of the band, the royal band will play. And when you get swaying to the music, just bow down and worship the image. You know, some folk, that's all they need is a little music. Amen. They're ready to go. Amen. Now listen, just in case there was some that wouldn't bow down to the allure of the music, he said, if you don't bow down, you'll be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Well, he's added some weight to it now. Now, some of the people who had said, who had came from Jerusalem, said, well, I ain't bowing down. I know what the Lord said. And he said, but we'll be cast into a furnace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And you know King is crazy. Well, I bow down just one time. I really have my eyes closed, and I won't worship in his image, because that's what we do. We talk about sin. Well, I just bow down this one time because God knows my heart. God will forgive me. I'm going to hit that just one time, you know, and because God knows my heart. Why y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all too old for this. I mean, God knows my heart. He'll forgive me. That's what repentance is for, right? I'm going to play this number just one more time. That's all. And I know, because, you know, I'm going to leave it alone after this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to box this bad boy this time in case he come in here. I'm going to get this. But this is the last time. God knows my heart. Well, see, it starts when you first you bend. When you start saying, that ain't what the Bible really means. You'll bend the scripture to suit you. You'll delete something where the Bible says that God hates homosexuality. You say, no, he don't. Because God made them that way. No, God didn't make them that way, baby. God said, it's an abomination. He said, listen, I take credit. I made the blind. You know, I made the halt. I made the cripple. I didn't make no sissy. God didn't do that. And that's not nature, that's nurture. Amen. God would never call some abomination that he made, because God don't make no junk. All sissies, all homosexuals, all bulldoggers and lesbians are man-made, not God-made. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. That's the word. You can't change that. You can't fit that up to please you because your cousin or sisters. I got sisters in my family too. They're still sisters. Woman came to the women's meeting. I never got my wife come home. Told me she said that the woman she said she read the word of God and she had recently divorced and got her new husband. And she said the Bible says put off the old man, put on the new one. That's bending the word. That ain't even what that scripture means at all. But all the other women were saying that's right, girl. Amen. You cannot bend God's word to please you. Because if you bend it too far, you'll break. You'll break your vows. You'll break your promises. You'll break the covenant that you have with God. And then if you bend and then you break, you will bow at Satan's request. Satan wants to get you to bow. That's what he wants you to do. He wants to get you to bow to all the wrong things. This impacted the church so much until a lot of people don't even realize that they're bending and breaking and even bowing in the church. We live in a time where this not only this carnality has come in, but covetousness has come in, which is idolatry. People have done some God switching. See, you don't even love your children more than you love God. You don't love nothing more than God. If you love anything more than God, you've done some God switching. You can't love your house, your clothes, your car, your children, your wife, your husband, anything more than God. Hey, will require at the sound of the music to bow down and worship the image. The band started up. Had a nice beat too.
All right.
Everybody bow down. Now, evidently all didn't bow because somebody saw that there were three Hebrews who didn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They ran and reported to the king. These Hebrews who you have put over us, given them prominent positions, did not bow. Didn't you make a decree, O king? The king is living. He's upset. Very angry. Yes, I did. Send for them right now. And they come. Shoulders back. Heard you wanted to see me, king. He said, listen. We're going to try this one more time. I'm going to let the band start up. So when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the dulcimer and the psaltery, and all the rest of the music, I want y'all to bow down and worship my image or be thrown into this fiery furnace. Then he adds, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Well, king, I'm glad you brought it up. Evidently, you don't know my God. Now, what they could have done is said, he's the same one who told Daniel the dream that you had and then interpreted the dream. But no, they didn't have to go there. They just said, let me tell you something, king. We're not careful how to answer you. We ain't scared of you. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to ask you in this matter, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But listen to this. But if not, just in case he's busy somewhere else, just in case it ain't on his schedule, so you got to get this because sometimes we don't know what God will do, but you have to believe he's able if he wanted to. See, that's what you have to go with. See, sometimes God wants you to go through something, but sometimes he wants you to learn something. But I know what he can do if he wants to do it. See, you got to talk like you got a big God. Amen. We ain't got no little God. We have a big God. Our God can do the impossible. I love that in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. I want you to tell everybody, run and tell this. We're still not going to bow to your image or worship your God. We're taking a stand. We will not bend, we won't break, and we ain't gonna bow. That's what the church should be saying. Every time Satan comes against us with any type of temptation, look at him, devil. The God I serve is able to deliver me from this temptation. I'm not gonna bend, I'm not gonna break, and I'm not gonna bow. I'm not trying to make no excuse for sin. Now you know what happened. The king is upset because they told him the truth. See, everybody can't handle the truth. So that's why you go to a lot of churches who won't give you the truth. They give you about 99% truth and 1% arsenic. But don't you know 1% arsenic will kill you dead? They compromise the Word of God. As a matter of fact, there's some subjects they won't touch. You'll never hear a divorce preacher preach against divorce. If his son is a sissy, he won't preach about homosexuality. If his daughter had an abortion, he won't talk about the ills of abortion and the fact that it is a sin to take a life. Oh, he won't preach that. He's concerned about the revenue. We were talking, the preacher was talking. He said he was at a church where the pastor, where they had a business meeting. And when you go down there, you had to do like this because everybody was smoking in the basement of the church. And he went to the pastor. He said, "Pastor, can't you stop these folks from smoking in the Lord's house?" He said, "No." He said, "They've been smoking a long time. As a matter of fact, I can't stop all these people. As a matter of fact, some of them are the biggest givers of the church." Can't you see Pastor Tommy with a fire extinguisher? I'd be just putting everybody out up in the church. I wouldn't care what they gave. This is a big church. I can tell you the name. I can tell you the name of the church. This is a big church. It's on Woodward. I don't know how I'm gonna tell you. I can't put everybody out of the church because these are our biggest givers, and a lot of them gonna smoke anyway. Not in God's house, they ain't. There are a lot of pastors who are more concerned about their paycheck than they are about God's word. They don't want to give them. They don't want to make the people mad. Do it. Act like I'm trying to keep you all from getting mad. Thank you very much. You get mad if you want to. I don't care. Hey, man, I'm just going to tell you the truth. And another thing, I'm not worried about y'all putting me out of here. So I don't have to go along with the sissy and everything. You know, that's what I don't like about President Obama. He's campaigning. I know a lot of y'all think y'all put him in there. Y'all ain't put him nowhere. How 12% of anything gonna put somebody somewhere? You only 12% of the population, black people. You did not put him in the White House. You did not do that. And if he get back in, it ain't gonna be because of you, because a lot of y'all don't even vote. Amen. So he's friendly toward gays. As a matter of fact, we get 28 days. We got 29 this last month for Black History. Yeah. The sisters get all the month of June as gay month. Yeah. Obama passed that into law. Gay Pride Month is the month of June. Obama gave them that. He's trying to get votes. He's not trying to be no Christian and take no stand. And I know a lot of y'all don't like that, but I don't care. He won't take a stand on abortion and say abortion is sin and conception begins the life in the uterus. He won't tell you that because he won't take a stand on it because he's trying to get elected. I ain't trying to get elected. Already got the best job I'm going to ever get. And I'll be here next Sunday too. I will not compromise the Word of God. I stand on it. I stand for it. Amen. You can't bend it to satisfy other people. You cannot lower the standard that God has created. And I don't know why people keep trying to change God's standard. We have certain standards we've been going by all of our lives. Amen. Our government has made a standard and have adjusted the standard to how we measure and weigh things.
Yes,
amen. Right. Amen. If a cup of flour is still a cup of flour.
Yes, sir.
A cup is still 8 ounces. 6 ounces ain't no cup. A cup is 8 ounces. Amen. 2 cups is 16 ounces. 16 ounces make a pint. Amen. And 2 pints make a quart, don't it? 32 ounces, and then 4 quarts make a half gallon. That's 64 ounces. It's the same. It's the same all across this country. If you're making a sweet potato pie in Mississippi and calls for a certain amount of ingredients, it's the same as you make it here in Detroit. It's the standard. A foot is still a foot. A yard is still 3 feet. Amen. The standard has not changed. So why are you trying to change God's standard? Always want to lower something. You won't try to get anybody to lower your wages, will you? No. If anything, raise it up higher. But we're trying to lower God's standard. To say God don't really mean that. God means what he means.
Amen.
His word is all we need. This is our manual to get us from earth to heaven. So here, they've told the king, we ain't bowing.
All right.
Don't care what you say.
Yes,
we're not bowing. Yes. The king says, heat up the furnace.
Yeah.
Heat it up quick.
Yeah.
Make it hot. Make it 7 times hotter. Yeah. Flames are jumping out the big fiery furnace. Evidently, we don't know what kind of furnace it was, but it was big enough that you could look in it and big enough to walk around in.
Yes, sir.
So he gets 3 strong men from his army to bind them up with all of their clothes and hats and turbans and everything on. And he throws them into the furnace. And it's so hot until the ones who throw them in, they get burned up and die. Oh, it's there in the text. Read it.
Yeah, man.
They're dead.
Yes, sir.
And the king is waiting for some cries, some screaming, some hollering coming from the furnace. And he looks in the furnace and 4 people are walking around. He hunches one of his advisors and says, wait a minute, didn't we put 3 in the furnace? But I see 4. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Now, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar knew what the Son of God looked like. But he knew he didn't look like the rest of them. They're walking around. They're not screaming. They're not yelling. They're walking around in the fiery furnace. Some have said that it was an angel of the Lord. Some said it was Jesus before his incarnation. I think it was.
Yeah.
Y'all know who it was.
Yeah.
It was mercy.
Yeah.
And every time somebody said, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy shows up.
Yeah.
Mercy always showed up.
Yeah.
So mercy showed up
yeah.
in the fiery furnace
yeah.
and cooled down the flames.
Yeah.
Their hands were not singed. Their clothes were not burned. They did not smell like smoke. The mercy cooled down the flames. I saw Nebuchadnezzar call the 3 men out. They came out one by one, walking like nothing had happened. They said, the God I serve, able to deliver us. O King, oh, King, King made another edict. He said, nobody can say anything about the God of these 3 men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their God is delivered like no other God from a fiery furnace. That's all I've come to tell you today. Your God can deliver you out of your fiery furnace. Just don't bend, don't break. And don't bow. Yeah, Lord. Well, Satan always wants you to bow. He wanted Jesus to bow down. I read over in Matthew chapter 4 and 8. Again, the devil take Jesus up to a high exceeding mountain and showeth him the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of the kingdoms. He said, all these will I give you if you fall down and worship me. But Jesus said, get me behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. O only him shall I serve. I won't bow down to you, Satan. That's what you got to tell the devil. You just won't bow down. But there is one we all shall bow down to. For it is written, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord of all. He would not bow down. They took him to Calvary's cross. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. But he still wouldn't bow down. He called on the Father. The Father denied him. But he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. Gave up the ghost and died. He died for me. He died for you. He who had no sin had all sins put upon him. He died in our stead. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But the Bible said it was early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who could conquer sin, death, and the grave? Jesus rose the third day with all power. So quit bending. Quit breaking. And don't bow. Take a stand on the word of God. You serve a great God who's able to deliver you out of any situation. But don't you bend. Don't you break. Don't you bow. Now please stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.